Chapter 4. Luck Herder hailed him, answering the Kingston, and asking the name of the other ship, prevented the damage. They cruised together some time, and meeting nothing which answered their information, returned to Jamaica, as I shall to my subject, begging pardon for this, as I thought, necessary digression. Don Juan de la Zevda told the captain in a letter that the St. Joseph, a galleon of 70 guns, was then lying at Portobello, and should be glad he could keep her company till she was off the coast, that she would sail in 8 or 10 days for the Havana, and that, if his time would permit him, he would send an advice boat, that she had on board the value of 800,000 pieces of 8 in silver and bar gold. Miss Sun returned an answer that he believed he should be excused if he stretched his orders for a few days, and that he would cruise off the Isle of Pearls and Cape Gracious a Dios, and give for signal to the galleon, his spreading a white ensign in his fore topmast shrouds, the clewing up his foresail, and the firing one gun to windward, and two to leeward, which he should answer by letting run and hoisting his fore topsail 3 times, and the firing as many guns to leeward. Don Joseph, extremely pleased with this complaisance, sent a boat express to advise the St. Joseph, but she was already sailed 2 days, contrary to the governor of Carthagen's expectation, and this advice Captain Miss Sun had from the boat, which returning with an answer, saw the Victor in the offing, and spoke to her. It was then resolved to follow the St. Joseph, and accordingly they steered for the Havana, but by what accident they did not overtake her is unknown. I forgot to tell my reader, on board the Dutch ship were 14 French Huguenots, whom Miss Sun thought fit to detain when they were at sea. Miss Sun called them up, and proposed to them their taking on, telling them at the same time, he left it to their choice, for he would have no forked men, and that if they all, or any of them, disapproved the proposal, he would either give them the first vessel he met that was fit for them, or set them ashore on some inhabited coast, and therefore bid them take 2 days for consideration, before they returned an answer, and, to encourage him, he called all hands up, and declared, that if any man repented him of the course of life he had chosen, his just dividend should be counted to him, and he would set him on shore, either near the Havana, or some other convenient place. But not one accepted the offer, and the 14 prisoners unanimously resolved to join in with him. To which resolution, no doubt, the hopes of a good booty from the St. Joseph, and this offer of liberty greatly contributed. At the entrance of the gulf they spied and came with a large merchant ship bound for London from Jamaica. She had 20 guns, but no more than 32 hands, that it's not to be wondered that she made no resistance. Besides, she was deep laden with sugars. Monsieur Miss Sun took out of her what ammunition she had, about 4,000 pieces of 8, some puncheons of rum, and 10 hogsheads of sugar, and, without doing her any further damage, let her proceed her voyage. What he valued most in this prize was the men he got, for she was carrying to Europe 12 French prisoners, 2 of which were necessary hands, being a carpenter and his mate. They were of Bordeaux, from whence they came with the Pomeca train, which was taken by the Mermaid off Petit Guevers, after an obstinate resistance, in which they lost 40 men, but they were of opinion the Mermaid could not have taken them, having but 4 guns less than she had, which was made amends for, by their having about 30 hands. On the contrary, had not the Guernsey come up, they thought of boarding and carrying the Mermaid. These men very willingly came into Captain Miss Sun's measures. These men, who had been stripped to the skin, begged leave to make reprisals, but the captain would not suffer them, though he told the master of the prize, as he protected him and his men, he thought it reasonable these French should be clothed. Upon this the master contributed of his own, and every man bringing up his chest, thought themselves very well off in sharing with them 1/2. Though Miss Sun's ship passeth for a French man of war, yet his generosity in letting the prize go, gave the English grounds to suspect the truth, neither the ship nor cargo being of use to such as were upon the grand account. When they had lost all hopes of the Saint Joseph, they coasted along the north side of Cuba, and the Victor growing now foul, they ran into a landlocked bay on the east-northeast point, where they hove her down by boats and guns, though they could not pretend to heave her keel out. However, they scraped and tallowed as far as they could go. They, for this reason, many of them repented they had let the last prize go, by which they might have careened. When they had righted the ship, and put everything on board, they consulted upon the course they should steer. Upon this the council divided. The captain and Caraccioli were for stretching over to the African, and the others for the New England coast, alleging that the ship had a foul bottom, and was not fit for the voyage, and that if they met with contrary winds, and bad weather, their stock of provision might fall short, and that as they were not far from the English settlement of Carolina, they might either on that or the coast of Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New York, or New England intercept ships which traded to the islands with provisions, and by that means, provide themselves with bread, flour, and other necessaries. An account of the provisions were taken, and finding they had provisions for 4 months, Captain Misson called all hands upon deck, and told them, as the council differed in the course they should steer, he thought it reasonable to have it put to the vote of the whole company, that for his part, he was for going to the coast of Guinea, where they might reasonably expect to meet with valuable prizes, but should they fail in their expectation one way, they would be sure of having it answered another, for they could then throw themselves in that of the East India ships, and he need not tell them that the outward bound drained Europe of what money they drew from America. He then gave the sentiments of those who were against him, and their reasons, and begged that every one would give his opinion and vote according as he thought most conducive to the good of all, that he should be far from taking it ill if they should reject what he had proposed, since he had no private views to serve. The majority of votes fell on the captain's side, and they accordingly shaped their course for the coast of Guinea, in which voyage nothing remarkable happened. On their arrival on the Gold Coast, they fell in with the Nieuwsted of Amsterdam, a ship of 18 guns, commanded by Captain Blacks, who made a running fight of 5 glasses. This ship they kept with them, putting on board 40 hands, and bringing all the prisoners on board the Victor, they were 43 in number. They left Amsterdam with 56, 7 were killed in the engagement, and they had lost 6 by sickness and accidents, 1 falling overboard, and 1 being taken by a shark going overboard in a calm. The Nieuwsted had some gold dust on board, to the value of about 2,000 L sterling, and a few slaves to the number of 17, for she had but begun to trade. The slaves were a strengthening of their hands, for the captain ordered them to be clothed out of Dutch mariners' chests, and told his men that the trading for those of our own species could never be agreeable to the eyes of divine justice, that no man had power or the liberty of another. And while those who professed a more enlightened knowledge of the deity sold men like beasts, they proved that their religion was no more than grimace, and that they differed from the barbarians in name only, since their practice was in nothing more humane. For his part, and he hopped, he spoke the sentiments of all his brave companions. He had not exempted his neck from the galling yoke of slavery, and asserted his own liberty to enslave others. That, however, these men were distinguished from the Europeans by their color, customs, or religious rites, they were the work of the same omnipotent being, and endued with equal reason. Wherefore, he desired they might be treated like freemen, for he would banish even the name of slavery from among them, apostrophe, and divided in 2 messes among them, to the end they might the sooner learn their language, be sensible of the obligation they had to them, and more capable, and zealous to defend that liberty they owed to their justice and humanity. This speech of Miss Sunness was received with general applause, and the ship rang with Vive la Captain Miss Sun. Long live Captain Miss Sun. The Negroes were divided among the French, one to a mess, who, by their gesticulations, showed they were gratefully sensible of their being delivered from their chains. Their ship growing very foul, and going heavily through the water, they run into the river of Lagoa, where they hove her down, taking out such planks as had suffered most by the worms, and substituting new in their room. After this they careened the prize, and so put out to sea, steering to the southward, and keeping along the coast, but met with nothing. All this while, the greatest decorum and regularity was observed on board the Victor. But the Dutch prisoner's example began to lead them into swearing and drunkenness, which the captain remarking, thought it was best to nip these vices in the bud, and calling both the French and Dutch upon deck, he addressed himself to the former, desiring their captain, who spoke French excellently well, to interpret what he said to those who did not understand him. He told them, before he had the misfortune of having them on board, his ears were never grated with hearing the name of the great Creator profaned, though he, to his sorrow, had often since heard his own men guilty of that sin, which administered neither profit nor pleasure, and might draw upon them a severe punishment. That if they had a just idea of that great being, they would never mention him, but they would immediately reflect on his purity and their own vileness. That we so easily took impression from our company, that the Spanish proverb says, let a hermit and a thief live together, the thief would become hermit, or the hermit thief : that he saw this verified in his ship, for he could attribute the oaths and curses he had heard among his brave companions, to nothing but the odious example of the Dutch : that this was not the only vice they had introduced, for before they were on board, his men were men, but he found by their beastly pattern they were degenerated into brutes, by drowning that only faculty, which distinguishes between man and beast, reason. That as he had the honor to command them, he could not see them run into these odious vices without a sincere concern, as he had a paternal affection for them, and he should reproach himself as neglectful of the common good, if he did not admonish them. And as by the post which they had honored him, he was obliged to have a watchful eye over their general interest, he was obliged to tell them his sentiments were, that the Dutch allured them to a dissolute way of life, that they might take some advantage over them. Wherefore, as his brave companions, he was assured, would be guided by reason, he gave the Dutch notice, that the first whom he catched either with an oath in his mouth or liquor in his head, should be brought to the jeers, whipped and pickled, for an example to the rest of his nation. As to his friends, his companions, his children, those gallant, those generous, noble, and heroic souls he had the honor to command, he entreated them to allow a small time for reflection, and to consider how little pleasure sure, and how much danger, might flow from imitating the vices of their enemies, and that they would among themselves, make a law for the suppression, of what would otherwise estrange them from the source of life, and consequently leave them destitute of his protection. Apostrophe, it is not to be imagined, what efficacy this speech had on both nations. The Dutch grew continent in fear of punishment, and the French in fear of being reproached by their good captain, for they never mentioned him without this epithet. Upon the coast of Angola, they met with a second Dutch ship, the cargo of which consisted of silk and woolen stuffs, cloth, lace, wine, brandy, oil, spice, and hardware. The prize gave chase and engaged her, but upon the coming up of the Victor she struck. This ship opportunely came in their way, and gave full employ to the tailors, who were on board, for the whole crew began to be out at elbows. They plundered her of what was of use to their own ship, and then sunk her. The captain having about 90 prisoners on board, proposed the giving them the prize, with what was necessary for their voyage, and sending them away. Which being agreed to, they shifted her ammunition on board the Victor, and giving them provision, to carry them to the settlements the Dutch have on the coast, Miss Sun called them up, told them what was his design, and asked if any of them was willing to share his fortune. 11 Dutch came in to him, two of which were sailmakers, one an armorer, and one a carpenter, necessary hands. The rest he let go, not a little surprised at the regularity, tranquility, and humanity which they found among these new-fashioned pirates. They had now run the length of Sardinia Bay about 10 leagues to the northward of Table Bay. As here is good water, safe riding, plenty of fish and fresh provision, to be got of the natives for the merchandise they had on board, it was resolved to stay here some little time for refreshments. When they at the bay opened, they spied a tall ship, which instantly got under sail, and hove out English colors. The Victor made a clear ship, and hove out her French ensign, and a smart engagement began. The English was a new ship built for 40 guns, though she had but 32 mounted, and 90 hands. Miss Sun gave orders for boarding, and his number of fresh men he constantly poured in, after an obstinate dispute obliged the English to fly the decks, and leave the French masters of their ship, who promised, and gave them, good quarters, and stripped not a man. They found on board the prize some bales of English broadcloth, and about 60,000 ellen English crown pieces, and Spanish pieces of 8. The English captain was killed in the engagement, and 14 of his men. The French lost 12, which was no small mortification, but did not, however, provoke them to use their prisoners harshly. Captain Miss Sun was sorry for the death of the commander, whom he buried on the shore, and one of his men, being a stone cutter, he raised a stone over his grave with these words, "I see just unbrave Anglois, here lies a gallant English man." When he was buried he made a triple discharge of 50 small arms, and fired minute guns. The English, knowing whose hands they were fallen into, charmed with Miss Sun's humanity, 30 of them, in 3 days' space, desired to take on with him. He accepted them, but at the same time, gave them to understand, that in taking on with him, they were not to expect they should be indulged in a dissolute and immoral life. He now divided his company between the two ships, and made Caraccioli captain of the prize, giving him officers chosen by the public suffrage. The 17 negroes began to understand a little French, and to be useful hands, and in less than a month all the English prisoners came over to him, except their officers. He had two ships well manned with resolute fellows. They now doubled the Cape, and made the south end of Madagascar, and one of the Englishmen telling Captain Miss Sun, that the European ships bound for Surat commonly touch it at the island of Johanna, he sent for Captain Caracciola on board, and it was agreed to cruise off that island. They accordingly sailed on the west side of Madagascar, and off the Bay de Diego. About half seas over between that bay and the island of Johanna, they came up with an English East India man, which made signals of distress. As soon as she spied Miss Sun and his prize, they found her sinking by an unexpected leak, and took all her men on board, though they could get little out of her, before she went down. The English, who were thus miraculously saved from perishing, desired to be set on shore at Johanna, where they hoped to meet with either a Dutch or English ship in a little time, and the mean, while they were sure of relief. They arrived at Johanna, and were kindly received by the Queen Regent and her brother, on account of the English on the one hand, and of their strength on the other, which the Queen's brother, who at the administration of affairs, was not able to make head against, and hoped they might assist him against the King of Mahila, who threatened him with a visit. This is an island which is contiguous, in a manner, to Johanna, and lies about NW, and by N from it. Caraccioli told Miss Sun he might make his advantage in widening the breach between these two little monarchies, and, by offering his assistance to that of Johanna, in a manner rule both, for these would count him as their protector, and those come to any terms to buy his friendship, by which means he would hold the balance of power between them. He followed this advice, and offered his friendship and assistance to the Queen, who very readily embraced it. I must advise the reader, that many of this island speak English, and that the Englishmen who were of Miss Sun's crew, and his interpreters, told them, their captain, though not an Englishman, was their friend and ally, and a friend and brother to the Johanna men, for they esteem the English beyond all other nations. They were supplied by the queen with all necessaries of life, and Miss Sun married her sister, as Caraccioli did the daughter of her brother, whose armory, which consisted before of no more than 2 rusty firelocks, and 3 pistols, he furnished with 30 fusils, as many pair of pistols, and gave him 2 barrels of powder, and 4 of ball. Several of his men took wives, and some requited their share of the prizes, which was justly given them, they designing to settle in this island, but the number of these did not exceed 10, which loss was repaired by 30 of the crew they had saved from perishing, coming in. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.